Foodie Films is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage Club related, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me.
In the 21st century, post our meals on Instagram. The host is just as guilty as any other man. Sandwiches, pizza, sushi galore, barbecue, beers, and so much more.
Hey there, foodies, and welcome back to another episode of Foodie Films. Of course, this is your host, your chef de cinema cuisine, Kyle Reinfried. What's going on? What's happening? How are you? We're going to get right into this one today, folks. Got a good one for you. It's a silly one. It's a delightful one. If you listen to the Chocolat episode, you know who one of the guests is. Joe Two of, you know, he's part of the Cage Club podcast family. He co-hosts Too Fast Whoever with the podfather himself, Joey Lewandowski. And joining me and Joe too, first time Foodie Films guest, Rachel, Joe's wife. This was really fun. Last time I saw them was for that live event that, you know, I had at Yonkers Brewing Co. So it's been a while, so it was great talking to them, great catching up with them. And just like Chocolat, this is a delightful movie, Mystic Pizza. We talk about it a lot. We talk about food a lot because these two are foodies. They might be the definition. They might be bigger foodies than I am. Not that that's necessarily a hard thing to be, but they love to travel. They love to eat. They love to drink. So I love talking to them and I love hanging out with them. And we're scheming up some trips to take this summer. So without further ado, here I go talking with Joe and Rachel about Mystic Pizza. Joe Two, welcome back. Rachel, welcome to Foodie Films.
I'm so glad
to have you guys on.
Happy to be here, brother. Yeah.
This is exciting. Haven't seen you guys. Actually, the last episode I released was the live at Yonkers, and that just seems like a lifetime ago, which is the last time I saw you guys.
Yeah, it does feel like a lifetime ago. I don't even remember the last time I left the house.
It was a different world. It's a different world. Exact same kind of show as that one. But that was so much fun. So thank you first and foremost for coming to that event and supporting Brian and I.
Definitely. Thank you for inviting us.
I know you guys hate beer. So
yeah, it's horrible.
Before we get into this delightful movie, or at least I think it's delightful, but before we get into the movie, everyone should listen to the Chocolat episode where I had Joe on, which that was delightful, as they say, and I love you, man. It was absolutely delightful. Fun episode. So if you're really curious about what Joe likes to eat, what he likes to drink, that's very we go into depth on that episode. But right now,
talked a lot about that.
We did. Yeah, exactly. And your beer trips and all that extravaganza and pizza. We're definitely going to talk more pizza today. So Rachel, let's just talk about, like, what were you eating growing up? Who was cooking? Where did you grow up?
So I grew up outside of DC with my mom. It was just me and my mom in Rockville, Maryland. It's probably like 20 minutes outside of DC. And she would cook. I mean, I would help her. I actually love cooking. I always have. So it would just be us two cooking in the kitchen pretty much every night.
Any staple dishes?
Actually, our favorite dish to make together was always chicken piccata. It was like our classic thing. We actually would eat a lot of fondue. as kind of weird as that is, we had like a couple fondue sets and we would have fondue a lot.
That's fun. Yeah. Fondue's fun. I never got going to the Melting Pot, though. Did you guys ever been to one of those?
I've only been there, like, once. But they do, like, the whole, like, cheese thing and all. It's a little much.
It's a lot of smells, because there's a lot of things going on in there, and everyone's cooking. And then also, it's not, like, not a cheap place. And I'm like, so you got me cooking my own food.
Yeah.
So, but other than that, fondue is fantastic.
I have a good Melting Pot story, though.
Oh, please.
One time on Twitter, I said, I was tweeting at the Melting Pot. Actually, I didn't even tweet at the Melting Pot. I just tweeted, like, Ratchets love the Melting Pot. And, like, their Twitter bot replied, and, like, we love the Ratchets. Like, and I was like, I swear to God, I still have the tweet saved. It's somewhere deep in there.
Oh, you need to make a t-shirt of that. That'd be
it was so good. It was, like, one of my favorite moments. And every time I think of the Melting Pot, I just think of how they embraced that the Ratchets love them.
Do you think that it was a real person who was responding that, or do you think it was just, like, a bot that was, like, programmed to respond, like, and we love, like, blank, whoever loves us?
I have no idea. I hope that it was a real person, and they just responded kind of, like, in Too Fast, Too Forever style, you know? Like, just, like, a robot. Like, they just, like, you're like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, that kid made my day. I still tell the story, see? So, he won.
It's fantastic. You should make a picture, and then on the, like, tip of the fondue fork is the tweet, and like some cheese is dripping off of it.
Perfect. I love it.
So growing up outside of DC, like I've been to DC several times, but like is there like a specific food in that area?
Well,
like,
in Maryland, it's crabs.
Crab cakes and football. That's what Maryland does.
Precisely. So my mom was like a huge crab person. She loves them. She gets them like at least once a week in the summer. But I mean, I'm not really...
Soft shells. Yeah.
I'm not really a shellfish person, to be honest.
Ah, okay. All right.
Yeah, I just never... But it wasn't really my thing.
Just shellfish or like even like seafood in general?
Oh, I mean, fish itself, I absolutely love fish. But things in shells are just not really... I like crab like dip and certain crab cakes when they don't like fill it with shit. Excuse me, with stuff, when they don't fill it with stuff.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay.
You're fine.
It's fucking okay. You're fine.
Okay, well, I never know. but yeah, if they, like, put too much, like, random shit in it, you're just ruining it. But, like, even, like, lobster, lobster bisque, yes. Actual lobsters, nah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
She saves me a lot of money this way, brother. It's okay. It's okay. Saves us a lot of money in this house.
Yep.
I actually said that once. I was like, Rachel, I'm so glad that you don't like lobsters and crabs as much as I do, because we would be... definitely spending a lot more on dinners than we normally do.
Yeah, I just during quarantine, like, you know, I'm getting stir crazy, so Danielle and I we've done a couple of like food ventures, and we went to L&B's pizza in Brooklyn, and then I was just like, oh, Brooklyn is such a weird land of just like, it's just so many different types of neighborhoods, but then with like no traffic going on right now, it's really, really easy to get to places like all the way
I
out
bet.
On Coney Island.
Strange.
Like Coney Island in like
it.
30 minutes. Yeah. And so we went out to Sheepshead Bay, because I haven't been out there in forever. And we went to this old school place, Randazzo's, and we got fried clam strips and like a corn crab chowder. And the soft shell crab sandwich was just so good. It was a beautiful day out, and it was just like we got to eat on a bench, and I felt a little bit like when Morgan Freeman is describing the beer on top of Shawshank. It's like, we got to feel like Freeman again. it was beautiful.
Yeah, sounds awesome. I didn't even think about driving to the city. I bet there's like a lot of places open, Rachel, that we should just drive down to. Like, we could probably get to Katzen back in like an hour.
That's,
you know?
That's true.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, there's definitely, I think everything, but some stuff is supposed to start opening up a little bit more, I think, this
next week.
Yeah. But, so let's just talk about what are you guys eating during quarantine? And then as far as, relationship goes, like, is there a balance between who's cooking and all that kind of stuff?
Ooh. What have we been eating during quarantine? We actually have been making a lot of pizzas.
Yeah, we do, because we make our own dough. Well, Joe makes the dough. Nice. I read the directions to him.
Yeah. But Rachel's selling herself short, because the other part of that question, she does a lot of the cooking.
Yeah, I do. I do most of it.
For the most part, yeah.
Unless it's like something where I need you to like cook the meat while I do something else and I give you that one job. Otherwise, I do everything else.
True.
Are you still making the chicken piccata? Is that something you're doing?
We haven't made it in a while, but he's had it.
We haven't, you're right. I've made it for him. Definitely had it. That I get Rachel to make a lot of Italian dishes, and she makes like a lot of like homemade pastas for us, which I love.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
Nice.
What else? Oh, you know what we've been doing during quarantine is I bought like a Korean barbecue grill.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. So we've just been doing goes that right over a burner on your stovetop. Yeah. So you can just kind of Korean barbecue it up in your own house.
That's perfect. Yes. Yeah.
So we've been doing that too. I think that's mainly what we've been doing. Stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, it hasn't really changed from what we normally eat.
True. Mm-hmm. True. Very fair. Yeah, and we bake. I do a lot of the baking. Like I made some bread today. Definitely got some pizza doughs going for next week. Mm-hmm. So stuff like that. Yeah.
In the beginning of quarantine, we filled our freezer with soup.
That's true.
I made like seven different kinds of soup.
Oh, so good.
I was just saying the other day. When I was eating that like corn crab soup, I'm like, I should get into soups. Like I should, you know.
It's so easy, dude.
Yeah.
It's so easy. Yeah. Do you have a pressure cooker?
I do not. That is actually.
You don't really need.
You don't need
one.
It. It helps to make like stocks.
Yeah,
and stuff.
It helps to make stocks, but you can just do them on the stove.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always said like between as much as I'm called like a ham and I like my attention, it's not like I want to be the star of the show. And I always say like, it's not like I would want to be a head chef in another life. Just make me like a saucier and that would be
that nice sous chef position.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I agree.
Yeah, exactly. Just like doing your passion and
I wanted to be a chef when I was little.
Really?
Yeah, that was like the first thing that I wanted to be. I wanted to be Jane Goodall and then I wanted to be a chef.
I think I wanted to be a like a paleontologist because of Jurassic Park, but I probably couldn't say that word at the time. and then a Disney animator / voice artist.
Ooh.
Yeah, draw the characters I'm voicing.
That's fun.
Yeah, but didn't come true. Didn't follow.
It happens, and now we're all here.
There's still time.
You guys have to talk me through. This is what this episode is becoming. It's just going to be.
Yeah, you're just like on a couch, feet up.
So, I mean, you guys like to travel. Has there ever been, I mean, I'm not trying to take like a hot take on your relationship or anything like that, but it definitely, I mean, for me, it was always important to find someone that I travel well with and we do like similar foods. So, yeah, just like, what are your experiences like? What was like one of the first like trips you went on? I went on an early trip with Danielle and we were just like, you know, yeah, this is going to be like a make or break. And we went to New Orleans and we had a blast. And
I'm jealous. When we were heading back, I still haven't been there. Yeah.
I've been meaning to take Rachel to New Orleans forever.
It's
you know, I'm a huge
my
New
favorite
Orleans
place.
Fan.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, we've been a lot of places at this point. We travel very well
together.
Usually
it's for food and it's usually for food, to be honest with you. Like food is like a central theme to like where we're going and what we're doing. Like, you know, I take beer trips, like I said, but when I take Rachel places, like, the first thing we do is, like, okay, like, we're trying to hit these restaurants or this cuisine or something like that. So, like, yeah, it's a lot of focus like that. Tell Kyle about your favorite food trips. What were some of your favorite ones? I don't remember, like, the first trips that we
I know,
did.
It's been, like, 8 years at this point, so I don't even know.
Yeah.
I don't know. The most standout is probably Italy.
I've only been to Rome. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God, Florence!
Florence
is
had
like next
the most like
level.
Amazing food ever. That's so. There's this like very tiny, essentially like a hole in the wall. It's a sandwich shop. It's called All'Antico Vinaio. It's in Florence. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, they have
it's very famous.
They have two storefronts,
very, very famous,
and they're like right next to each other. It's the same thing. Like it all goes comes from the same place. They just have two storefronts, and. That sandwich that I got from that shop, like, I still dream about that sandwich. It was one of the most amazing things I've ever eaten.
Oh. They make it on, like, really thin focaccia, and they just, like, they pull out, like, sheet pans of focaccia, right? And then they, like, they have all the meat right there. They're just, like, slicing nonstop. And then which one? I got one that had, like, a truffle spread on it.
Yours was similar to mine, but I think yours had, like, eggplant on it or something. Mine,
I think I might have roasted eggplant too.
Mine was prosciutto and pecorino and truffle cream.
And it was like slices of pecorino, brother. Like full slices. Yeah.
I messed so up good. By having not eating like right before this. I always think about that before recording these episodes.
It's like going
no,
it's
all good.
Store hungry.
Yes. Oh, that's dangerous. That is dangerous. Yeah, yeah, no, those meals are the best when you just like, you know, it's at the same time it's a dream, but at the same time, you know, it's almost a nightmare in the sense of like, I can't have it, but I'm dreaming about it and I want it.
Yeah.
And those dishes.
Yeah, that place actually did a pop up in New York like last year, I think.
Oh, wow. That's
something
cool.
Something
it's
happened
like that
where,
famous.
Like,
yeah.
We couldn't go though. I don't remember.
It was
what
like
it was.
Only like 2 weekends and like it was like it would sell out like really quick. Like after the first weekend, we realized that there was like a 4-hour line and they only had like 2 sandwiches. It was like very dumbed down because obviously they were coming from Italy, but.
Mm-hmm.
But like, whew, yeah, I would go back to Florence just for this place.
I would go back for Il Profeta too.
Oh yeah, Rachel picked a restaurant that she really liked there.
So like, there was I followed like these other random people on Instagram. It's like it doesn't matter who they are, but like they went to Italy and posted all these pictures of like this pasta from this one restaurant, and apparently mm-hmm. it's really really famous. It's called John Travolta Pasta. Because when he went there and ate this dish, he licked his plate because all of the sauce was so good. And so they, like, affectionately nicknamed the pasta after him. And
you
I was like,
the plate and went...
I was like, if we ever go to Florence, like, I am going to this restaurant or I'm going to die. Like, I have to go there and I have to get this pasta because it looks incredible. And we went there and we got the pasta and it was
fucking good.
So worth it. Like, oh my God, it was so good.
Yeah, we definitely cleaned the plate.
Yeah,
with bread.
With bread.
I didn't use my tongue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were a little classier. Like,
and then went like, oh my God! That's my, that was almost more Christopher Walken than Travolta.
I got the Travolta out of it. It was perfect.
Yeah.
Come on, Sandy! I don't know where I'm going with this. It sounds like you guys do travel quite well together, which is awesome.
Oh,
you,
yeah, we're a good team.
Yeah.
Rachel's
yeah.
passive, like... for the most part, so like she's along for the ride, and we're good. Like that would have been make or break, dude. Like, you know what I mean? Like, have you ever traveled with people that are bad, like that just don't mesh with you traveling? It's rough.
Yeah, it's rough. And then even like more than just like traveling with like two other people, it just becomes, you know, just a bit tougher because of trying to get into certain places to eat.
True.
And all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, two, like a tandem, especially like a significant other, is like perfect. Like if you guys
a good
mesh,
couples trip, you know,
yeah,
just like a little B&B,
so easy.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
easy. I feel like four is kind of like the limit for traveling easily.
Mm-hmm.
Anything anything above that is just like too much to coordinate. Like I don't want to be waiting on you to get ready, and like you want to go do this dumb thing that I don't want to go do,
or eat somewhere that I don't want to eat. That's what's frustrating too.
Yeah, for sure. That's but and then like you said, I travel mostly for the food and the meals I'm going to be having as well. So that's I try to be cautious when. What trip I'm saying to, like, what friend or inviting or whatever. Or just make it clear, like, this is what I'm doing. Or, like,
this is what I'm doing, and this restaurant's going to be very expensive. Or, like, you know what I mean? Like, to let them know, like, hey, I'm going to eat here. So, like, we're not doing that, and it's going to be expensive. So, like, you have to
deal. I mean, I've been on trips with people that I'm like, okay, I'm going to go do this right now. If anyone wants to join me, they
that's
can.
That's always
but
me, man.
But no hard feelings if you don't, like, and I'll meet up with you guys.
That's very similar to Joe's traveling
MO. If we travel with like a bunch of friends, I'm like, I'm going here. You guys are welcome to join. If not, I'll see you when I get back. Like, cool with me.
Well, maybe the four of us should go
I'm down.
On a trip sometime.
Yeah,
that'd be fun.
I think you guys should come visit and come eat some of this fucking pizza because you haven't yet.
Yeah,
I know.
We can go to the Mystic Pizza.
Yeah, we could do a little pizza tour of Mystic Pizza, and then in, what is it, Pepe's, right?
New Haven,
yeah.
We have Pepe's. A bunch of famous pizza spots here, man.
Pepe's, Sally's, Modern.
Yeah, we have at least, like, we usually, like, in the rankings, like, if you see, like, any general best pizzas in America rankings, New Haven has at least 3 on it at all times.
That's awesome. That's really...
Yeah, I never knew it till I got here. Like, my boss told me, like, when we were moving, like, oh, dude, they have good pizza. And I was like, yeah, whatever. I didn't even think about it. But, like, yeah. I'm a convert, man. I'm sold. The New Haven pizza is top tier. It's hard to beat.
That's really impressive. I wonder, like, what the origin of it was in just the sense, like, I'm assuming most people were in New York first before New Haven. I mean, I know New Haven isn't like a young city or anything like that.
No. No, but there's like a huge Italian population here, and they have like one of the oldest pizzerias in America. Like Pepe's was like, it's like over 100 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
So definitely. I think they just like had one, and you know, you just like, I guess there wasn't too many pizzerias in New York at the time. So
yeah, I mean, it's fairly similar to like, I guess, Neapolitan style kind of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would be the closest thing I would compare it to.
Wood fire, thin crust. Yeah.
I love it. I love Neapolitan because it just has like a rustic feel to it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and they love doing the wood fire pizzas here. So like it definitely gets like that nice wood taste, like a little char on it. I like my pizza like done, right?
Same.
Like I don't want this like, you know, like all this gooey shit. Like, I want my pizza, like, really cooked. And, like, yeah. New Haven's one of the first places that I ever came to that I was like, oh, wow, I don't have to order a pizza well done. Like, it just
comes that way.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you'll see all these reviews that'll be like,
my pizza was burnt. Like, everyone who's not from here always says that the pizza's burnt, but it's not. It is perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, is it like they cook it? I mean, it's like at a really high temperature. That's not in the oven any longer than I feel like 2 minutes, probably, right?
Yeah, it's really quick. And they have this like huge wood fire oven that you can see, like, it's like part of the building, right? It's like all brick.
And wow.
Yeah, it's just massive. So, and oh, their like pizza paddles are like 9-10 feet long.
Oh, yeah. You have to like duck from those things sometimes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They're gladiators of our era.
It's true. They're the true American gladiators.
Well, since we're on the topic of pizza, let's get into this movie, which is Mystic Pizza, which takes place in Connecticut and is a real place. So
it is.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, I wanted to go there before this episode, but obviously there's quarantine.
Yeah.
I have a story that one of my coworkers, he was Croatian. Well, he is Croatian, but he left. And he went to Mystic because Mystic is like kind of it is what they're like describing in the movie, right? It's kind of like a couplesy like Saturday day trip kind of place. If you live in New Haven, you can go up there. You know, like you're on the water. You go up there, you get some food, and then like you just come home. And he went up there, and he said he was in this pizza shop, and he's like there, and he's like, okay, like I want a slice of pizza. And he's like looking, and he's like, why do you have this movie on? And they just play Mystic Pizza on loop all day, right? Because it is Mystic Pizza.
Like they do a Goodfellas?
Yeah, exactly.
We have this this Italian place that's like near us. It's called Goodfellas, and the only thing that they play on TV is the movie Goodfellas on loop.
Just on loop. Yeah.
Wow.
So, but he didn't know like about Mystic Pizza. Like he didn't, he's like, what do you do? And they're like, oh yeah, we've seen this movie like fucking 4 billion times at this point, right? Because it's like, it's always on TV like while we're working. And he's like, oh, that's cool, I guess. And just like, tell us his story about Mystic Pizza.
Yeah, so, I mean, this film came out in 1988. It's directed by Donald Petrie, who also directed How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, Miss Congeniality, Grumpy Old Men. So a couple of classics right there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, like, he has a tight Sandy, Julia Roberts. Yeah. Those were the girls at the time, right?
Yeah, and, Kate Hudson.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just a couple of real, really impressive leading ladies. And this was a breakout role for Julia Roberts.
Well, she was only 21.
Damn.
Right?
At the
time of filming? That's, she was 21.
That's crazy. I don't know what the first movie, I guess Hook was probably the first movie I saw her in just because.
Good point. Because we were kids.
Yeah. And then like.
This actually might have been the first movie that I had seen of her. Maybe.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Either this or Pretty Woman. I don't know. But there's a strong possibility that it was this one.
Interesting.
She started out with some, I feel like, some sexually progressive characters between that and
like you said, when you look
woman.
Like that, you probably get typecast a little bit.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this, like, as I was watching this movie, like, how is Julia Roberts typecast? Like, her type is girl that's pretty enough to almost break into the upper crust. right? Like, every movie that she's in, it's like she's like she's just toying with like a rich guy. He's like, okay, you're cute enough that like we could move you up a couple social classes here.
Born a little trashy, but can can work her way up with a little work.
Yeah. Even in like my best friend's wedding, she is, you know, like, I mean, she's a food critic, but like, you know, she can hang with the boys and go to the baseball games.
Yeah.
Like she became America's sweetheart, you know?
She is. She's the girl. She is like the real girl next door, right? Like, that's the thing. It's so weird that like every role that like, and now that I keep watching, I was like thinking this as I was watching. It's like, motherfucker. Like, yeah, here we go again. Like, trashy Julia Roberts makes her way up the ladder.
She's not trashy.
She's pretty trashy in this movie.
No, not really. She just has a little like
rough around the edges
body. Like,
oh. Yeah, and you feel bad.
She's not,
you feel bad
on the
for
inside.
Her at some points. Yeah, when it's like her and JoJo and Kat, and they're all hanging out, and she's just like, you've got your brains, you know, you've got Bill, and she's like, what do I have? And she points at her smile and then holds up the beer.
Yeah,
and so she
that was a sad moment. Like, you could feel a little pain there. I could, at least.
Yeah, she just doesn't want to, you know, she looks at what her mom is doing, and then she knows she doesn't have possibly, you know, like, the chances that, so Kat is, I'm assuming that's supposed to be her younger sister, like, Julia, you know, if Kat is,
I think
18,
so, yeah,
19 years old, maybe, or I don't even know how old, like, Kat is necessarily supposed to be, because
18, 17, 18?
I don't know.
She's starting second semester of the year, so I don't know if she just did, you know, is she starting college later?
That was
she's
weird.
That's what I think.
Well.
I think that she hasn't started college yet, and she's just starting, like, during the second semester for whatever reason.
Not that it makes anything better, but I hope she is just, like, a little older, so the whole babysitter thing isn't as horrible as it is.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because that guy, what did he say? He was a Yale class of, like, 77?
72. I thought it was 72. Might have been like 76, though. I don't remember.
Let's just say 76, and this movie's like 1988, so that's like 12 years after, so he's like 30. He's like 34, 35.
Well, Daisy said that he was at least 30, because she was like, oh, you think this 30-year-old man is going to leave his wife, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So he's definitely in the 30s range.
I didn't see that coming, really, because it really did sound like it was, like, I didn't necessarily think it was going to work out for what his name is Tim, for Tim and Kat. But at the same time, I didn't think the wife was going to come back. It sounded, the way the storytelling was going, it sounded like she was gone.
Oh, they set it up perfectly for her to come back and break her heart. I saw that coming from a mile away. I mean, I have seen this movie before, but, like,
I haven't.
This time I saw it coming from a mile away.
Oh, so, yeah, so that's usually a question. So, Joe, you've never seen this movie before?
Never seen this movie. Now, we've been in Connecticut for, like, 7 years. I'm a big Julia Roberts fan, but, like, it was just never a movie on my radar. Like, I was just like, okay, cool. Like, it
exists. I guess since you hadn't been to the pizzeria, you would have seen it then.
Yeah, I would have seen it as I was eating. No, but I had never seen it, and like, it was very following a formula that like I was like, I think that I was really nailing like exactly.
Well, I know you love Lifetime movies,
exactly.
So like in this falls into that spectrum. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I don't think
it's close.
I don't think there's enough drama.
Okay,
like this is
but
way
it's close.
Too,
it has the tropes.
This is way too like you, slice of life. You know.
You know what was I hadn't seen in so long, and I honestly don't know if I've ever seen it in full. This is actually a movie. It's like always brought up by like my parents. I think it's a movie that they saw in theater. Like they really didn't go to the movies like a lot together, and I think they saw
it
in theaters together.
Can I guess?
What? Go ahead.
Is it Unfaithful?
No, I'm saying Mystic Pizza.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
I was trying to guess the other movie that you were talking about. I was hoping it was Unfaithful.
Oh, no, the other... No, actually, I know what... An Officer and a Gentleman is one of, like, the other big ones that I always bring up.
makes sense.
But I don't know if it was, like, they rented it and they watched it one time, but my dad always swears. He's always like, you want to, like, see Mystic Pizza? Like, we've never seen it before. And my mom's like, we've seen
movies.
It! Like, it's always... Yeah. But, yeah, you know, awesome. You know where I thought, like, cause I didn't remember a whole lot about this movie when Tim is showing Kat around the house and then shows the whole Widow's Peak kind of thing and gives the ghost story.
Yeah.
That felt like it was going into Lifetime territory, and then all of a sudden you'd have, I thought like maybe something was going to happen to,
like, she falls. He pushes
her
off.
Or like maybe something happens to like Daisy's character and there's going to be something involved. Like, I thought the house is going to be built for the rich kid's family. What was his name? Charlie?
Yeah.
Charlie.
And something was going to happen there, and I don't know. Like, that's definitely going in that direction.
Well, but, Lifetime movie where we just watching Rachel where they pushed her off the balcony of the beach house. We were just watching one that was like that. Never mind. I forget. There was a murder at the end where she pushes her off the balcony of like the thing. Yeah, I think. Sorry.
So what do you guys think about this movie? Do you like it?
I was a huge fan never seeing it. Yeah. Like, I'm surprised it took me this long to see it. I'm on a good run of movies lately, and this one was, like, really enjoyable, too. I also didn't expect to get as misty as I did near the end when, like, the pizza shop owner gives her the money for Yale.
I know. That kind of got me, too.
It was so nice. Yeah.
It's so heartwarming. It was just, like, such a gentle moment. I was like, wow, I wasn't expecting that in this movie, like, to get me a little, like, worked up there. But it really took me.
Yeah, Leona, right? Played by
Conchita
Farrell. Yeah, I'm blanking on her husband's name, but she's just like, or is that even like her? Like, they never say like husband and wife, but
I think it is because she says like, you know, me and whatever.
Yeah, we never had kids.
We don't have kids.
Yeah. So I guess it's insinuated in that sense. Like, so when she says that and she's like, the three of you are my daughters, like, okay, like, I love you too, Mom. Like, it becomes pretty heartwarming moment.
Yeah, it was very
sweet.
Yeah,
it really touched me. I was pleasantly shocked at how much I enjoyed this movie. For the first time watching it, I was like, damn, I can't believe I spent so long avoiding it.
I mean, it's not, I would never ever peg you for being like, let's watch Mystic Pizza. I would be like, who are you and what have you done with Joe? But I mean, I know that you would like enjoy movies like this, but I don't think you would ever pick them.
It's a little too mainstream. I usually need the Lifetime murderiness. I need a little bit more like double crossing, a little bit more drama than this, and then I'm really sold. But this was good, for sure.
Yeah, it just ends up being like a nice, small, quaint movie like Mystic itself.
Just like
I guess.
Mystic itself. I can't wait to take you there. I don't think we've ever been to Mystic, Rachel.
No,
because
I want to go to the aquarium.
They have a very famous aquarium. That's
true. It's like
not
right
a planetarium.
Yeah, I've been there.
You've been there, really?
Yeah, I went there. We did my mom's side of the family had a family reunion. I think the summer after like my freshman year of high school, and I remember we stayed then at Foxwoods Casino.
Amen. We go to Foxwoods. Yeah,
Foxwoods is fun.
And then driving back, like, so we did the family reunion, like, the one day, and then we stayed over at Foxwoods, and then going back the next day, we stopped in Mystic, and I think it was just, like, the line was crazy at Mystic Pizza, and so...
Oh, I'm sure.
Supposedly, after this movie came out, it was just... I mean, obviously, it was a significant amount of time since the movie came out, but still, it's just been a very popular place to go.
Oh, yeah. Forever. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So
they got that glowing review, so...
Yeah, from the Fireside Foodie or whatever. What was his name? Yeah. Was it the Fireside Foodie? I think it was, right?
Yeah, his
moniker.
Everyday Gourmet.
Is that what it was?
I think that's what like the show was called.
The Fireside Gourmet is his name.
The Fireside Gourmet. I wish he was the Fireside Foodie for you.
Yeah. Maybe that should be my web... I should start like a web series of like a video review.
Only if you dress like this guy every time.
Yeah, you have you have to be in like a silk robe with like slippers and be next to a big fireplace.
I love like the old school like vibes. So you got this guy is like the critic and just the way he describes things. And then the mom is watching Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous on TV.
Yeah.
It's just such a snippet of, like, that era before, obviously, like, social media and bragging on there and everything like that.
Yeah, before we had, like, MTV Cribs, we just had Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, which I don't, I haven't thought about that show in forever, but as soon as I heard his voice, I was like, Rachel, do you know what this is? Like,
I'm
it's Lifestyles of the Rich
it.
And Famous. Yeah. So good.
But this movie, I wrote down a bunch of things, but I love, it's a movie that I wrote down this. It's filled with pizza, sexual games of dart. That's like the staring that's going on between the dart game and then the pool game.
I loved the pool scene. That was such a good scene.
Silly hitchhiking, a lot of astrology.
A lot of astrology for this
it's
movie,
astronomy.
Right?
Astronomy.
Sorry.
Oh man, and I even messed it up. I'm such a JoJo. inappropriate relationships between babysitter and divorcee dad.
He's not even divorced.
He's not even divorced yet.
It's true. I guess I wrote that down before the twist. Lifestyles of the rich and famous. Pretty forgiving guys. Like, not pretty as in, like, their looks, but just, like, I feel like
very
the characters
forgiving,
of
yes.
Bill...
Bill
and, yeah, very forgiving
was my
guys.
Favorite character.
Yeah,
because
same.
He was just play. He was like, look, I need to get married. I'm sick of you wanting me for my body. And she's like, no, like, it's okay, though. And he's like, no, like, we can't just keep having sex without you marrying me. And it's like, the role reversal was so great for me.
He, like, really genuinely loved her.
He did. I just like the idea that we saw a movie finally where, like, the woman's not chasing the man around trying to get married, right?
He calls her out in a way that I wasn't expecting in this movie. That he goes, I love you. Do you know what that means? He's like, and you only love my dick. And I was like, whoa. Like, I'm happy this wasn't like a Reinfried Family Movie Night movie. Or maybe it is, and that's why I don't remember because I struck it from the records.
I watched this with my mom. Know. My mom showed
this.
This
is why your dad
like,
blacked it out. This
it.
Is why he doesn't remember watching it. Your exactly. dad doesn't remember because of the dick.
It just
scene.
Makes him really uncomfortable when earlier she's like, yeah, I'm just really turned on by his wrists.
Like, oh, God, the wrist
Joe
fetish.
Lost it on the couch. He started cackling and goes, what?
I get as a guy, I think I have nice wrists, so that gives me hope that, you know, maybe some people, women out there are just, like, taking a look at my wrists sometimes. I'm fine.
Just,
yeah. Eyes up here.
It's, yeah. it's the little things, you know?
Eyes up here. Stop looking at my watch. Exactly. I know where your eyes are going.
And then even, and as I said, I was writing some of these down as the movie was progressing. But then even, like, Charlie is extremely forgiving right away to
to
Daisy dumping all the fish in the
Porsche.
She wrecked
his Porsche. And he was just like, eh. Like,
yeah, she totaled this car. He's like, at least you did it 100%. And she's like, thanks. And that was it. That was the whole thing.
Yeah, because it wasn't like you could even like write it off as like, oh, he's a rich guy and he doesn't care because then he gets to drive like the BMW that he's like, yeah, well, you know, it doesn't smell like fish like the Porsche. But he says that like you gave it like all you got. Like, you gave it 100%. Like, really? Like, I guess... I don't know.
That was a moment where those two were getting married.
Oh yeah!
Like as
definitely.
Soon as I saw that scene, I was like, okay, like it's over. Like he's done.
Yeah, he can handle that crazy, that passion, that supposedly fiery Portuguese passion.
Oh God! Yeah.
Which
also, what did they keep saying? Like
which also there's Portuguese? A lot of slights to the Portuguese in this movie.
Like is that there a thing? Is... What's a Portuguese? Like they just
I
kept
guess,
saying
I don't
it's
know.
So weird, and I couldn't tell if it was supposed to be like.
You guys let me know. Like I thought
a,
I was chalking
bad,
it up to like Connecticut
like
accent
word.
Or something.
You know, like I don't know if it was like a put down for like the Portuguese, and they were just saying it
like a mild slur.
Yeah, I don't know because I've never heard either. Anyone say that, and we have Portuguese friends. Like
we have to call our Portuguese friends and ask them if that's like a what that means.
Yeah.
If they love
just
Mystic
call them
pizza.
Up and just yell it right away and see how they react. I think that would
hey,
be the best.
Hey, Portuguese.
Just like see what they say. If they're like, excuse you, I thought we were friends, then we know that it's bad.
It's quarantine. Let's yell it from the car as we drive by their house.
I went to Portugal over the summer, and granted, I was only in Lisbon. I don't recall seeing like a lot of pizza, like not even your typical like, you know, every country pizza. Like.
A lot of the Portuguese are here, and from what I know, is because a lot of them were fishermen, and so this like Mystic is like a fishing village, right?
Yeah.
So like that's what it is. I don't think it. I think the shop owner's Italian.
Yeah, but they mentioned that they import the spices from Portugal. So like whatever like wacky spices she's using
were Portuguese spices because it's local
originally.
And it's culturally relevant to her town. That makes sense. Okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but they're definitely Italian because it was an Italian wedding. Like,
no, it was a Portuguese wedding.
Yeah, it was definitely not Italian.
Yeah. I had the subtitles on and they were like saying like it would say like in Portuguese.
Yeah,
and,
it was definitely either Portuguese or Greek, but it makes way more sense for it to be Portuguese.
Oh, I thought that like JoJo and Bill were Italians.
No, they weren't. They weren't speaking Italian.
I didn't know. Sorry.
Wow, you ignorant fuck.
I know. Yeah. Accidental racism again. Strikes again.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this movie. Just like you said, like did one of you guys already say the T-shirt? I love a slice.
Oh my god,
from,
I want that T-shirt so badly.
Me too.
They sell them there, so when we go, we can get you one. But they like, oh, perfect. I want one so badly, and I can't decide which color I want.
We have to get Kyle one of the Delaney ones too.
I don't even have one of those.
Those are very cool.
Yes, I want one of those too.
We'll take them to Delania. There's another pizza spot that's like a little bit newer here.
Oh, you know, are they still going to have them now that they're like at Olmo?
Yeah, yeah. They still have them? Okay. I saw them.
It's
yeah,
So what and it is, it's like an I Heart New York shirt, but it's mm-hmm. I and then like a slice of pizza and H, like New Haven.
Oh, that's
perfect. They're cool.
Yeah, they're very cool. I like those ones a lot.
Is there a scene for like each of you or either of you that you really enjoyed from this movie?
Let me think.
I really enjoyed the pool scene just because, like, you got to see how offended the stuck up girl was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the waspy guy, like, saying to his girl, like, it's like when she misses, it's okay. That's why we do
girls.
Double
T. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So we can even it out.
Even it up.
Like, oh, yeah. Buddy, just you wait.
I think my favorite was how much I love lobster, but I know how boring it can get if you eat it all the time. And when she's like, lobster in the fridge, lobster in everything, and then she goes to dinner and they're like, lobster!
So many lobsters, yes. Her mom works on the docks, and it seems like just like a lot of lobster, in particular, at least what she's working with. And so then, that fridge is filled with cooked lobsters.
Yeah,
and I, when she opened that fridge, I was excited.
Yeah, see, I only want that for the bisque.
That was the most refrigerator that was the most expensive refrigerator I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's like $6,000 worth of lobster in that fridge.
It's so much butter you need for that. You guys like lobster rolls with mayo or butter?
Oh, are you kidding? Joe will like die
on this hill.
This is the hill that he will die on.
It's true. So you know that they're called different things, right?
I don't think I did. No.
Okay.
So or maybe I do.
Lobster roll with mayo
today.
Is like a that's like a lobster roll. But if you get it with butter and hot, it's a Connecticut style lobster roll.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's just the
Yeah. And
okay,
like
you call it Connecticut style, like you're saying Chicago style.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but, like, when you're in Connecticut, so, like, when I came here, I was eating lobster rolls, and, like, you know, I made some Connecticut friends, and I was eating lobster rolls with butter, like, hot, and I was like, oh, these are fucking awesome. And then, like, we went to Massachusetts to visit my other friend, and he's like, let's go get lobster rolls. And we're like, cool. And they were like, lobster salad.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, no, I don't want any of this. This is not the thing that I wanted at all.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm pretty anti- like lobster salad, lobster rolls.
You need that
like
don't
hot
like mayo
butter.
Anyway.
I don't like mayo. I'm not a big mayo fan. And
see,
like,
I really like mayo, so I think I enjoy mayo. Them. I think I enjoy them equally. It's just like just knowing. I mean, you know, it's just two different. I'm going for two different things. You got the like cold like lobster salad, and
yes.
Then you got the hot and butter. Yeah. So just
Were I to eat
things.
One, I would definitely pick the Connecticut style, like the hot one. But
hot buttered ones.
Yeah, but I still just don't want that.
That's another thing we got to feed you when you come up here, brother. Like, we have a lot of great lobster rolls around. That's one thing I say to Rachel. Like, I'm like, I've lived in some places that I'm like, you know, like I lived in Pittsburgh. And I'm like, I miss Pittsburgh, but for like certain reasons. And I'm like, if I ever left Connecticut, the thing I would miss the most is like lobster rolls and like all the seafood that we have around here. Like,
clam
that would get
pies.
Really sad for me.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm planning a trip up to Maine. I mean, obviously things could change as
where are you going?
As they have been. I want to hit up like stay like two nights in Portland. I want to camp out in Acadia, and then I want to just like pick people's brains about like maybe some others.
I
like,
would
small...
love to join for Portland, bro.
Yeah, have
like,
you ever
that's
been?
One of our favorite places.
No, I've never been.
It's really fun. Portland is really
Rachel
cool.
At
There's
least
a lot of
once
good food there too.
There's a ton of good food. Yeah. Oh, fuck, we can go to, what's it called?
Great
Eventide.
Lost Bear. Oh, yeah, Eventide Oyster Company, very good.
Oh yeah, and the Great,
I love
what is
oysters.
It,
the Great Lost Bear.
Great Lost Bear. This is, like, one of my favorite beer bars in America. The Great
oh,
Lost
awesome.
Bear. Oh yeah, and they have Bissell Brothers Brewing Company, which is awesome too. Yeah. And the Meadery was good. There's a lot of breweries up there actually, but Bissell Brothers is fire. Yeah. I love Portland.
You're getting me even more excited than I was.
And dude, Portland's fucking awesome.
There too,
it's
right.
Yeah, Allagash is there.
And
yeah.
then there's another one that's like right next door to Allagash.
It's Allagash Foundation, Austin Street, and Battery Steel are all in like one block.
Yeah.
You so what kind of lot? So what kind of lobster rolls are they doing up there? Are they doing the mayo ones, or are they just like they just have so much that you could probably get whatever you want?
No, you normally they do like lobster salad with mayo, and we've had like a really good lobster rolls up there.
Oh,
but they
at,
also will do
High
Connecticut.
Rollers. Didn't they do?
Oh yeah, High Rollers. That's the Bissell Brothers
that they
like
did,
buddies.
Hot style there.
Yeah, you can get them Connecticut style. Okay. You just have to order it like that. Yeah.
Those awesome.
High Rollers is fire too. Damn, now you got me all jonesing to go to Portland again.
Yeah, I'm thinking like the last week of July.
Ooh, that's if the... it's open, yeah.
Eventide, yeah, exactly.
So Eventide is this place that we love, that I love up there. I think Rachel likes it too. And they do lobster rolls on like banh mi, like on like the really spongy bread.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. Very good lobster roll, but it's like a nice restaurant, and their oysters are fire. They're all like super local.
Yeah, if you're so if like you're going to go there, you have to make a reservation, or else you're going to be like fucked.
Yeah,
because we waited for like 2 hours to get a reservation. I mean, to like try to even like fit in as a walk-in, and eventually we got a place like at the oyster bar, and they were really
delightful.
Really nice to us for some reason. Like, I don't think we were being like anything out of the ordinary, but they were being like incredibly nice to us, and
they
gave
like,
us
strangely
like, free
nice
dessert. I'm pretty sure they gave us a free drink. Like, it was very strange, but I wasn't gonna say no.
We were just like super friendly and bubbly. Like, I think we had like been drinking at the bar down the street before, and we came in, we're like, yeah, it's cool, no worries, like the 2 hour wait wasn't a big deal, like we'll eat. And we started like ordering a bunch of different stuff and like oysters and stuff, and they were like, yeah, you're right, like every time the bartender would come by, they would like drop something weird off. We'll be like, what are you doing? Like, oh yeah, like, do you guys want this dessert? Like,
yeah, sure. I vividly remember them like giving us a bunch of free stuff.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That's
a cool spot, man.
Yeah, it sounds like a great spot.
Sorry, we took a whole Portland detour, but we're in the same realm.
We are in the same realm. Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, I mean, while this is, you know, so this is a foodie film. The name of the movie is Mystic Pizza. It's not like there's a whole lot of food in the movie, but between the pizza and the lobsters, I tell you, I mean, that's, and when that critic comes in, I think I remember, like, you know, I've definitely seen this scene recently just because of looking up when I was like, looking up how many food-centric movies there are to cover on this podcast, and I remembered it happening. I thought he gave the review there, like told them, and they got all excited. But it was just funny how it just ends up like popping up on the screen.
Yeah,
and,
they all start shrieking.
It's very true to life. Yeah,
and I love that Leona. She's in Mr. Deeds with Adam Sandler, and she works in a pizza place in that movie.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
It's like a little funny homage, I guess, to Mystic Pizza.
Yeah, probably is. That's
just
awesome.
A coincidence, I don't know.
No, it's definitely somebody was like, I like Mystic Pizza. Do you want to be a pizza shop owner again? Like, for sure.
I wonder if there's any, like, little nods thrown in when she's in Two and a Half Men. I haven't seen that show
like
forever, but I feel like that would be another place where, like, they might slip one in.
Yeah, just
for
cheeky
sure.
little references.
Yeah, like, oh, this is the best pizza I've ever had. And she's like, I import the spices from Portugal or something. Like, yeah.
We also get a, this was Matt Damon's first feature film role.
Joe goes, that's Matt Damon. I was like, what are you
Baby
talking
Matt
about?
Baby Matt Damon.
And then they like pan back to him. I was like, oh, yes, it is. He is very small.
He's such a young boy. He's like a small boy in this. Like, how old was he? Like 15 at the most?
I mean,
14.
I feel like in Julia Roberts around the same age. So.
No! He definitely wasn't 21. No, he was like a small child at this table.
I don't know. He
was 18.
He was 18.
He was 18. He looked younger to me.
Yeah,
damn.
He could
die for our country, Joe. He is a man.
Yeah, he was smoking cigarettes on set.
His name? Okay, he's billed as Steamer. What a
Steamer?
Name. Steamer.
That's his character's name?
Yes.
Oh. I thought you were going to say like that was like his actor name at the time.
Oh, no, no.
Like,
he just
did movies as Steamer.
His character's name is Steamer.
If his acting name was Steamer, he'd be like good buddies with like Vin Diesel or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, what was he doing before this? You know? Oof.
Yeah. Out of the three, so we got Kat, Daisy, and JoJo. Who do you guys think you're maybe most like?
Mm.
Oh.
Who you're most like, who would you want to hang out with?
I know that answer.
I would want to hang out with probably Daisy.
Really?
Or JoJo. It's a toss-up between those two.
Instantly JoJo, because she's the most down chick. If she lied to you, like lied for you, that's a good friend.
Yeah.
Covers up for Kat.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And then just that car ride, she's like, yeah, she just came in, and it was a knock, and I thought, you guys, and I just said that your
and
mom
I don't
was
think
sick.
She knows. Yeah. Like, maybe she does know. I don't know.
But at,
yeah,
like,
I don't
when
know.
JoJo
wow, this
did
is some
that,
really serious shit.
When she walked in and gave her the, like, hey, is your mom okay from the medicine you got her, okay? And I was like, that chick is down, and that's the kind of friend that I want. Like, you know what I mean?
I've definitely done that as, like, a young girl covering up a lie for someone else. Like, yep. You immediately see them, and they're like, hey, how was that thing that you said that you were doing that isn't the thing that you weren't doing, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, and this film does a pretty good job, I mean, wrapping up everyone's story. So JoJo ends up with Bill at the end.
Yeah.
She finally has the change of heart and realizes that they are, you know, good for one another and that she does love
him.
They
were so cute together. They had to end up together.
I mean, I don't think we even said his name, but Vincent D'Onofrio.
I love him. He's awesome. Oh.
He's great. He just, like, I feel like always goes against type, or not even maybe goes against type, but just takes such different roles.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I was a big fan of him on Law & Order Forever. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely then. I remember watching that with my grandma all the time, and she really enjoyed him, too. I remember
him
in,
as Private Pyle. Oh, yeah,
Private
Men in Black.
Pyle,
yeah.
Men in Black, everything. Yeah, he's a great actor. I don't think he gets enough credit, right? Like, that's like a low-key great actor.
He's a fantastic character actor. He was in, there was that remake, oh, I mean, there's been so many iterations, but of The Magnificent Seven, like Chris Pratt's in it. I forget who else. But Vincent D'Onofrio's in it, and he does he's just, you know, he's like a bigger guy now. And
We should watch that. I just pulled up the cast. It's Denzel, Chris Pratt, Ethan Hawke. Vincent D'Onofrio. Yeah.
It's directed by the guy who directed Training Day.
Interesting. Ooh, Peter.
It's good.
Never mind. That's not who I thought it was. Matt Bomer.
No, Peter Skarsgård. I think.
Yeah, but I think just like spelled his name wrong. It's not Skarsgård. It's spelled as Sarsgaard. So I don't know.
Oh,
if
so that's
it's
what
the
I
same
meant.
Family.
Yeah, somebody typed it wrong.
I don't know. It's on his IMDb page. So, yeah.
Oh, I think he's Sarsgaard, and then there's Skarsgård is the, like, you know, whatchamacallit from Good Will Hunting and the Avengers, and his son is the one that was on.
Well, yeah, I know who, like, the actual Skarsgård family is. I don't think this guy's related.
No, he's not. Yeah. And because this is the same guy that's in, like, Garden State, and, But, yeah, no, it's a good movie. It, you know, it was... It's a remake of The Magnificent Seven. You know, like, are you really going to...
You're not going to top the original one, right?
Yeah. Like, and then even from there, this, you know, Seven Samurai.
Yeah.
Like, you're just going up against classics. So are you really going to... You know, it's for a modern Western, like, it has some pretty good action in it. And I feel like the characters are fun. And so, to point being, Vincent D'Onofrio's in it. And he plays this... really over-the-top, like, wilderness kind of guy, just, like, wearing, like, a lot of pelts, and he has this really... He's such a big, like, you know, like, towering, intimidating guy, and he has such,
like,
a meek...
Is he, like, really large in real life, or does he just play
He has to be tall. He has to be super tall.
I think
tall.
He's pretty tall. I mean, they made him even look bigger. I don't know if you guys ever watched, like, Daredevil, and, like, with him as Kingpin.
I did see, like, the first season of that. That's right,
And he's awesome as Kingpin. But they made, I know, like, for that, they made him seem even, like, taller and bigger. But the role he has in Magnificent Seven, he just kind of talks like this and just really, really muted. And it's just such a weird juxtaposition to how burly, like, he just looks like a human bear.
Yeah, he's 6'4".
He's awesome.
So he's not, like, super, super giant, but, like, he is large.
No, but if
that's, like, the upper end of acting, right? Like, you have to be, like... Yeah. Like, if you're any taller than that, you start to make everybody else look weird.
Exactly. There's so many, yeah, exactly. Tom Cruise is, you know, a little person at that point.
Yes.
Compared to... But, yeah, six, like, but if you're 6'4" and you're, like, a broad guy... And Tom Cruise is about to go to space, so...
True. With, yes, that's true.
But getting back to Mystic Pizza, yeah, those I love both the scenes you guys mentioned.
I had a thought, so, but like character wise, I think that I would be more of a blend between Kat and Daisy. I think that I'm like a half and half split. What do you think, Rachel?
For me or for you?
For me. For me.
Yeah, I mean you're.
Gemini nature, man.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
It's really
annoying. Oh, yeah, you're a Gemini. I'm a Gemini, too.
Oh, God, you
are? That makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, no. Ugh. Too many Geminis in your life?
Well, Joe's a Gemini, so I just have to deal with it constantly.
I'm enough Gemini for her.
He's alone. Enough Gemini for, like, many people.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I have so many Gemini friends in my... Yeah. I forget what she... Is she a... Her, she's 7'7", so she is...
Leo?
Leo? Leo? Yeah. Leo?
Okay. Probably. Either... I get along really well with Leos. That
yeah,
makes
I think
sense.
It's Leo. I'm a Sagittarius, so I'm normal.
Sorry, guys. We're talking about
astrology.
I got it wrong on purpose. I almost got it right, and I had to change it.
Wait, so then, wait. Okay, so astrology is the stars.
No.
Astronomy.
No, the other way around.
Oh, okay.
Astronomy is, like, the actual stars. Yeah. Astrology yes. is, like, zodiac.
The signs.
Yeah.
Zodiac. Yeah, like, what? Okay. Okay, there we go. We got it.
That's funny. You're a Gemini, I too. Okay, cool. Makes sense.
But yeah, so like I was saying, JoJo ends up with Bill, and then Charlie comes to apologize to Daisy, and they seem to be, you know, pretty good, like you
good,
said.
Yeah.
At that, just like you said, when he forgave her with the whole fish thing, it's just like,
it's over. They're married. Yeah. Those people are married. She's done. Like, I don't know how his family's gonna react to it or like what he's doing there, but like, they're together forever. Like that was it.
Yeah, but I mean, in the end, I guess they're just still both young and immature and acting on, you know, like, what he was apologizing for, which he actually never said. He's like, I know I need to, like, apologize or say I'm sorry, but then never did the actual apology or whatever. And then she's
I hate
that.
It's just like,
cream.
I'm here to say I'm sorry, and then it's just, like, forgotten.
Yeah. And then he starts walking away, and she's like, well, do you like chocolate ice cream?
I do have to say that chocolate ice cream looked great.
It was like a nice freezer.
I'm a big chocolate ice cream like connoisseur. It's my favorite,
Ooh.
And that one looked really good.
I love everything chocolate, so yeah, just a nice simple scoop of chocolate in that like clear sorbet glass.
That will always make me happy. Always.
It will. And like, then, yeah, but it was like the nice temperature too. That's what like it looked like it was scooping really well. Like it was like very velvety.
He was also a bad scooper. She was an amazing scooper, and he was a really bad scooper.
It's okay, man. It's not his job. He's rich. He never had a scoop before. He had 15
Portuguese Yeah, exactly.
Servants.
That was his big moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All this stuff with the Portuguese. I'm like, oh my God. Like, was there...
There's some undertow that we didn't get, but
It felt like I was watching Gangs of New York, and they're talking about the Irish.
maybe like during the 80s, there was some like weird resentment against all the Portuguese. I don't know.
I'm sure. I mean, you hate everybody that comes over after you, right? Like that's the whole thing.
Yeah, for the most part.
So, like, I'm sure that the Portuguese came over and like they were all like, "God damn Portuguese!" And you're like, "Okay, cool, whatever."
Yeah, what do they say again? Portuguese.
Portuguese.
Yeah, like Portuguese. Like something really weird. It doesn't roll off the tongue very
I'm losing so many Portuguese listeners right now.
do you have a large Portuguese fan base?
I don't know. I will say that I had a very João Sapita, who is Portuguese, and he's the founder of all the Time Out marketplaces.
Oh, very cool.
I met him at the, I interviewed him at the one in Brooklyn in Dumbo, and then I was supposed to meet him when I was in Lisbon. I still went, but he was away on business, but then he had someone give Danielle and I a tour, so that was really cool.
Very cool. That's very cool.
He's a really cool guy. He was on the episode, the Lisbon episode of Somebody Feed Phil. So.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, he's a really, really nice guy. So as far as that, yeah, maybe I've had some Portuguese listeners. So
I like the Portuguese. We have Portuguese friends. They're super cool. Yeah, they're like some of my favorite people. It was like a culture that like I didn't have any experience with, and when I met them, I was like, oh, these are cool people. Like, I'm down with this.
Yeah, I can't wait to go back. It was a long time coming because the first time I was in Europe, which was like 5-6 years ago, I did so many, you know, it was like a 5-week trip, and I did about like 14 cities, and right, I was ending in Spain, and I was going to go to, when I was planning it, I was like, ooh, maybe then I'll, like, Lisbon's right there. But by the end of that trip, I was so burnt out from like city hopping.
Yep.
I was glad that I, you know, I just would have probably wasted and like hung around the hostel or something like that and not fully appreciated the city.
As you've gotten older, have you noticed that like you, when you travel, especially like for food and stuff, that you're like, yeah, like in your head, you're like, oh yeah, I'll hit these like 6 cities. And you're like, maybe like 2.
Yeah. Like, oh no, that's for sure. That was this trip that I did, you know, this past summer, because it was Danielle was with 5 of her girlfriends, one of whom moved to Dublin for work. So they were visiting her. And then the 6 of them went to Barcelona as like a little vacation for the friend that lives in Ireland. And I said to her, because they were going for 6 days or something like that, and I said, can you take off an extra like week or 8, like 9 days, and I'll meet you there, and then we'll continue on into Spain and then go to Lisbon, and then we went to Paris. And by the time we were in Paris, and she never traveled like that before. And I mean, we had a great time, and we did 2 nights in San Sebastian, 4 in Lisbon, and then 2 in Paris.
Did you guys train?
We drove from Barcelona to San Sebastian. That was like a 5-hour, 6-hour drive.
Okay.
But it was nice because we're driving through the Basque country, so it was a nice drive.
Did you have an automatic car?
Yes, yes.
We were not so
I cannot
lucky.
Drive stick.
Rachel's just laughing because when we were in Italy, like, I show up to the rental car place and they're like, we have a manual for you. And I was like, I haven't driven a manual in a decade. And she was like, well, that's all we have. I was like, if you're okay with it, I'm okay with it. And she was like, okay.
And was like, either take the car or like get out. And he was like, listen, like, I might mess this car up. She's like, that's all there is. Take it or leave.
And I was like, okay, then I'm fucking up your transmission. So, like, enjoy the ride.
Arrivederci.
Yeah. You did very well. I was actually very impressed.
Thank you.
That's awesome. I get my dad tried to teach me. I mean, it was a long time ago. It was on an old car of his.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't long after I just started driving. So I feel like now I'd be way more comfortable just because I'm comfortable driving in general.
Yes.
But like, so, and I get the whole concept. I understand like what you have to do, just be getting, I guess, the feel for it, obviously.
Yeah, it's definitely not hard or something like that, but like, well, you haven't done it a very long time.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
the only time
it's like very
in a foreign country.
In a foreign country, it's very intimidating. And like, oh, and like, we picked it up in Milan, like in the middle of the city.
Yeah.
Oh,
so we had to get out of like these tiny, tiny little Italian streets and like somehow make it to the highway. And it was quite an adventure.
When I was driving around in Ireland, I did like a 2-week trip in Ireland, and I just drove, you know, I rented a car for, I think, pretty much the whole time. There was a few times I took a bus, but just driving those, because then you're driving on the other side of the road.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I was driving, you know, an automatic, and I would have been, even if I was comfortable driving, you know, stick, it would have been so weird because then I would have been shifting with my
left hand.
I am so right hand dominant.
Same.
That like that would have
that
not,
would not
like
be
worked.
Safe.
So in that moment, I was very thankful I didn't know how to drive, because I definitely would have taken, you know, because number one, they're just so much cheaper usually than renting automatic cars.
Very true.
But yeah. So we drove from Barcelona to San Sebastian. Then we flew from San Sebastian to Lisbon. Then flew from Lisbon to Paris. But
Paris is like an underrated city, man. Like, I mean,
I
not
love
it's not
Paris.
Underrated. Like, I just had like so much like it's. I wasn't ever wanting to go there for the reasons that people tell you to go there. Like, they're like, it's so romantic, and like there's all these things, and like, I went there with my buddy, and we went there, and we just ate and saw museums, and we were like, this place is fucking cool. Like, way cooler than we ever thought. Like, this isn't, like, I get that, like, it can be romantic, but at the same part, like, It's not. It's just like a dope city. And there's like a bunch of like really students and shit. You can like, there's bars, you can drink. We were like, fuck yeah, like this is really cool.
It's just one of those great, you know, like capital cities that like even Berlin ends up being a great food city and has so many museums. And even, you know, DC can be like that. But Paris, I think Paris, I mean, just like all the other, just so many other cities in the world, they're stepping, I mean, they already are obviously known for their cuisine, but other chefs are stepping up, and it's not like you have to go to a crazy white linen tablecloth restaurant in Paris to get an amazing French meal.
True. Yeah. Very, very true.
Everything is delicious.
Yeah. Paris. I'm actually a big French food fan. And
I
like,
love French food.
But, like, when I was there, I was like, holy fuck, like, I can get down with this. Like, I get it, you know? Like, that was, like, when it really sunk in for me. Like, I liked French food, but, like, I wasn't like, oh, this is great until, like, I was there. And I was like, holy shit, yeah, you guys really nailed it. This is good.
Paris was the Paris was the first time that I ever had Nutella or Nutella, whatever way people say it. Yeah, that was the first time.
Do you remember pre-American Nutella, Kyle? Like, before it was like a thing in America?
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, before white girls found it on Instagram?
I feel like they found that and pumpkin spice at the same fucking time. It was a perfect storm.
I think that I was probably there pre-Americans.
You definitely were.
Because I was there in, like, 2004, maybe. So, I was young. Like, I was in middle school. Because my aunt was on sabbatical there, so we had a free place to stay. So, my mom and I went for, like, a week.
Awesome.
Hung out in Paris.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a free place to stay, too. Danielle's cousin has an apartment. He's a flight attendant, and so he has an apartment there, and then also has a place in Croatia. So he was in Croatia, and we stayed in Montmartre, which is at the like highest point of Paris, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful spot to go.
It's where the Moulin Rouge is.
Yeah, it's right. Exactly. It's really funny. You're walking along. It's all sex shops.
I'm sure.
And then you go, and then you go up this hill, and it's just again, then quaint like Paris.
Yeah.
And you have no idea. And it's pretty quiet for being like right by this very lively part of the city. But I love talking with foodies because we go on all these tangents. But
I'm sorry. Yeah.
No. That's not me.
I'm food lusting.
Shut up, Joe.
Sorry. No, I love food lusting. This is why I like talking to Kyle, man, because we'll just, like, start talking, and then you're like, have you ever had this? And, like, you start just bullshitting, and yeah, man. Talking about food is second only to eating food for me, so.
Yeah, agreed. I'm big on foodsturbating. I'm pretty sure, like, my entire Instagram Explore page, like, that tab, is all just, like, food videos and, like, people making things and, like, cheese.
I love it.
Well, to finish up talking about Mystic Pizza, I'll just say this. I mean, what does Leonia put in the pizza? I love that that's like the last line of the movie.
I have to know. Like, what? I wonder what it is.
Because I know what it is, and it's going to segue into my perfect thing that I wanted to ask Kyle.
Okay.
The answer is always cinnamon.
I was, you know what? That's actually cinnamon. What I was thinking. That is literally what I was thinking too.
Cinnamon? I would have guessed like nutmeg.
Nutmeg is very close. You're in the same family. I'm with you, brother. And from that, yesterday, I had a question for you, and I was waiting for the perfect time to interject it. We were watching Seinfeld, and I wanted to know what's your favorite food moment in Seinfeld? I know it's not a film, but there's so many classic ones. What's one of your favorites? Give me just one of them.
As we're gonna get to my segment Gut Instincts in a bit, I'm gonna go with my gut instinct, and the first thing that popped in my head was the eclair in the garbage.
Oh my god,
that wasn't even on my radar.
Because that just been there, done that.
It was a perfectly good eclair. It was sitting right on the top.
Is that also when they're out? Are they out on Long Island? Or are they up? Are they in? I feel like am I mixing the episodes? Okay,
that one's the same one that the clown. That I think that's the same one as the 3D painting.
Favre?
The 3D painting, and when he pushes the women and children out of the the house that's on fire. Yeah. That's the Eclair one.
Oh, I was molding it for a second with the very famous, I was in the pool, like, for some
reason. Yeah, did she know about shrinkage?
Yeah, which then would also go, while it's not, like, at the moment, food, but Kramer taking the lobsters, that's one.
Yes, when he steals all the lobsters, that's right.
He steals
he's like, I just
the,
found
when
these.
He steals them out of the cages.
Yeah, he's like, I just found these. And they're like, no, that was, like...
They come to arrest him.
Yeah. Perfect. I mean, that's a show that just, so many just, I mean, feeding Rusty the chili, right?
Oh,
the horse.
God. Yeah, the horse. When he feeds all the chili. Because he's doing the handsome cab rides, that's right.
Yeah, and or the stealing the rye bread. God. Or is it?
Marble
rye.
Yeah, the marble rye.
So good.
I really like the chocolate babka, cinnamon babka, black and white cookie episode. That one's a big hit for me.
I haven't puked since June 18th because I said, George, what are the chances June 18th as I was puking? Oh, I love that
Thank
show.
You for that question. That is
sorry.
That is
yeah,
terrific.
We were watching it last night. I was like, I got it. I know that you're definitely a fan, and like I just wanted to know what was like the one that made you think of it, and you hit me with the Eclair one. That's one that I wasn't even thinking of. So perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's a been there, done that situation. So I felt I lived at home for like a while too. When I was first watching Seinfeld, I was the, you know, normal age to be living at home still.
Yeah.
But you know, I lived at home for a while. So George, I would always sympathize the most with. But in the end, you know, always wanted to be more like Kramer anyway. So.
You wanted to be like Kramer?
You aspired to be Kramer?
In some way. I mean, I don't know.
What a choice.
Some Kenny Rogers fried chicken, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Rest in peace, Kenny Rogers.
Oh, that's right. He just died not too long ago. That's right.
Or Kramer's coffee table book about coffee tables.
That's the one we were watching last night when we thought about this.
That's the one that we were just watching.
Yep.
It's the best. It's the best.
It's so good.
Well, you sent me a list of some of your favorite films, Rachel, Joe sent them to me, but I think I wanted to go with the Edward Scissorhands barbecue scene, because also
scene.
we get another visit, I thought it was a perfect time, with Conchetta Farrell.
We do.
I called it, when I saw it, I was like, oh shit, I couldn't believe this, Kyle really nailed it, she's in this one too.
She plays Helen, right? That's her name, Helen, yeah.
Yes. And so, let's, we'll play that clip right now and then we'll discuss it.
We got about a dozen of the melon and a dozen of pineapple.
Do you want something to eat? Okay. Are you hungry?
See you in a minute.
Yeah? You want a cracker?
Hey. Different.
Oh, completely different.
No kidding.
He's so
mysterious. Do you imagine those hands are hot or cold? And just think what a single snip could do.
Or undo.
Eddie, the guys and I were talking. Now, we'd like to invite you to our card game Friday night. Would you like that? Only thing is, you can't cut.
I have my own infirmity. Never did me a bit of harm. Took some shrapnel during the war, and ever since then, I can't feel a thing. Not a damn thing. Listen, don't you ever let anybody tell you you have a handicap.
Who's handicapped? My goodness. Don't be ridiculous. You're not handicapped. You're, what do they call that? Exceptional. My name's Joyce, and I noticed that you have not tasted any of the ambrosia salad that I made especially for you. Allow me.
You must try this. It's my mother's recipe.
Oh,
I tried mine.
Famous. Yeah.
You know, never in my life have I seen a green thumb like yours. I sure could use your help at my place.
Me too.
There you go.
I want a row of
I am so sorry, ladies, but he's promised to come to my house first.
One more.
Haven't you, Eddie?
Mm-hmm. Okay, everybody. Grab your plates. Soup's ours.
I thought this was about.
Yeah, it is shish kebab. It was a figure of speech, Ed. You gotta learn not to take things so literally.
All right, so Edward Scissorhands. This is a movie that, like, creeped me out so much when I was a little kid and saw it for the first time. Like, I didn't get the beauty of it.
See, I feel like that happens with a lot of Tim Burton movies.
Yes.
Like, yeah. You either love him or you don't get it, is what I have, like, noticed. Or you're just like, this is dumb. So
this is now easily on my list of, it's Edward Scissorhands, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and, like, Ed Wood are my favorite.
Yeah, I'm in, like, the very, very pro Tim Burton camp. I love him. I think he's awesome. And I, like, I loved this movie when I was little.
Yeah, and this scene in particular does such a good, I mean, the whole film does such a great job of showing this, like, pseudo, like, is it supposed to take place in the 50s, or is this just, like, a non-era, like, described movie?
I think that it's, you're not really supposed to know when. I think that's, like, one of the things, is that, like, you don't really know when it.
But it definitely has that 50s, early 60s vibe, too.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
And this scene just accentuates the whole, the neighbors coming over and everything that comes with that.
Dude, I haven't thought about ambrosia salad for years.
I wrote that down. I wrote down ambrosia salad and then all those housewives stuffing Edward's.
It's so gross.
When was the last time you had ambrosia salad?
I genuinely think I've never had it.
Really?
Again, at the same time, it might be, maybe this is, I take after my father and just how he doesn't want to think about sexy wrists. Maybe I don't want to think about ambrosia salad. I don't know.
I definitely...
Does anyone genuinely want to think about ambrosia salad?
I don't know.
Like, do people still
I don't
make
know.
It?
My aunts it's, did. Like, oh, up until... Like, I remember out. Thanksgivings where, like, you know, an aunt would bring this. This is like an aunt dish, right?
I think it went out with, like, having potpourri in your house.
It probably is. Yeah, they're linked. They're intimately linked. The potpourri industry died, so did ambrosia salad.
Good riddance.
I always hated potpourri.
Yeah, what the fuck was that shit?
My mom had potpourri. I thought it was kind of dumb.
Yeah, Febreze killed it. Like, once you had the plug-in shits, it was over. Glade with, like, the sticks. Like, once you had that, it was over for potpourri. Yeah. Those guys were, like, pulling their hair out for months when they realized that you could plug something in. That was a rough time.
But this scene, just with all the, every neighbor, like, you got some nice ones, you got the veteran that comes up that's saying, like, oh, don't anyone ever let you tell you that you're different, true, or that you're weird or whatever, but then
each... Yeah, it's, like, yeah, strangely wholesome.
Diane Weiss is amazing in this movie.
Oh, I know.
I think, I forget what, it's a ridiculous show. What am I watching? It's Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Do you guys watch it?
No, we've never watched it. We've heard great things, though.
Okay.
I have heard great things, but it's not... on my
you
list
know
yet.
The actor comedian Joe Latruglio, he's in like Wet Hot American Summer, he's in I Love You Man, he's like the everything you got, he's a, you know, he's on the shorter side. I'm trying to describe
Latruglio, let's see if I can but, find him. Oh yeah, I know this guy. Oh yeah, he's the creepy guy from Superbad. He's like, I'm a good guy.
Yeah
that guy.
I'm a good guy.
Okay.
Yeah, he's funny and he's really quirky and he's like a foodie on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, and, interesting.
And he's talking about...
Oh, this
yeah.
guy.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
And okay. One episode, okay, they're supposed... Like, they're not telling them they're going to be helping out a celebrity with a case or whatever, but before the captain assigns it, he doesn't want to say who the celebrity is, so it's not like, you know, one person is being weird about it or whatever. And the... character that Joe Latruglio is playing is like, is it Diane Weiss? He's like, I got a big Weiss infection for it.
Weiss infection?
Oh, ew. I don't like it.
So while I love Diane Weiss, that's all I think about now, Weiss infection.
Oh, God. Oh,
now that's a tangent. But
it was great. It was worth it for me, brother. You gave me a good laugh. That's pretty harmless. I mean, it's gross, but it's pretty harmless.
Yeah, his character's name is Charles, and he's just really into, like, odd, like, being a foodie, he's just always bringing, like, weird food into the office and everything like that, yeah.
On the subject of Diane Weiss, just really quickly, have you seen Life in Pieces?
I don't think, the name doesn't sound familiar.
It's a comedy, it's like a sitcom. It's about, like, one family, and they tell the stories, like, like through each different part of the family's point of view, kind of.
Oh.
But it's Colin Hanks, Tom Hanks' son. He's like the main character, and Diane Weiss is like the mom. That show cracks me up, and Joe won't watch it with me, and I'm not going to push him to. But you should watch it, and it's hilarious.
I'll check it out. Yeah, I love I got a yeast infection. Ugh, God, I'm sorry. That's just horrible.
It was right there. It was right there. You couldn't pass it up. I get it.
Low hanging fruit. I'm glad I told the story. I'm glad that didn't come up, and then I just said I've got a yeast infection. Like, just to, I keep saying it, but I'm glad I told the story, so it's yes, not
that's
just
context
that
now.
You told the story first,
yeah,
and that it didn't just come up organically, because that would have been even worse.
Organically, very phrasing. I mean, Edward Scissorhands. I love the movie. I love that scene. Just like him with the kebabs. The stuff
it cracks me up.
Yeah.
I thought these were shish kebabs.
Johnny Depp is just like, that is young Johnny Depp, and he is just going after it and just like chomping at every bit, you know.
In his prime, man. Then, that was like it.
Yeah, before he played Jack Sparrow forever.
Yeah.
All right, and as I mentioned, our lovely little round called Gut Instincts. Joe, you've already
played it. Yeah.
But here we go, Rachel. It's just whatever comes to your mind first.
Okay.
Favorite fast food?
Oh, God. Taco Bell.
That's true. That's very true.
I saw Taco Bell is doing, like, a lot of restaurants. Like, you could get a kit and then build it at home if you want.
That seems so, at the same time, so strange
people
for Taco Bell.
No, it's because people were complaining that they were ordering takeout and then they would get it home and everything would be soggy. So they were like, well, fine.
Ah, okay.
Like, we'll just make you put
it together yourself. Do it yourselves.
How far away is Taco Bell? Like, there's, like, a Taco Bell, like, every 2 miles.
It does die fast.
It does die
fast. Integrity is compromised.
It does die really fast. You have to eat it very quickly. I agree. Yeah.
Go-to alcoholic beverage.
Jack and Diet.
Favorite childhood snack.
Oh, I wasn't a big snacker, but if I had to say, this is a really weird pairing. Please don't make fun of me. It's like this specific pairing.
Oh.
Those Snyder's. I've told you about this. Those Snyder's, like little pretzel, like
the nugget pretzel pieces,
the buffalo wing ones, but paired with chocolate milk.
Yeah,
I get it. I don't know if I,
I would try it. To be
weird.
Honest,
it's that specific pairing, like was my favorite.
I definitely like both of them separate. Maybe I'll have to try it sometime. You know what I should do? I should end up like listening, and any of the times, because there's been other, guests that have said something that,
some
you
weird
know,
stuff.
Yeah, just like so an interesting combination.
Just try it all.
It's like, yeah, exactly. I should do an episode where I just like try
that's
it,
a good idea.
Or start posting it on Instagram.
That's very cool.
Like a YouTube special.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Sweet or savory?
Savory.
Favorite food city, domestic and international?
Florence.
And in the States?
And domestic.
Oh, and domestic, sorry. Somewhere in California? I don't know. I can get what... Oh, you know what? No. Philadelphia for Ishka Bibbles.
Ooh.
All right. I like it. I'm into it. Once you go to New Orleans, you'll feel differently, though. Favorite cuisine?
Italian.
For sure.
100%.
Guilty pleasure?
Chocolate things.
Chocolate things.
Just like anything, really.
It's
that's
so
chocolate.
True, though. Yeah, she's right.
I love chocolate. Just even chocolate, obviously. Just chocolate by itself, and just every. I want to find out like what's my most enjoyable dark chocolate. You know, because it gets
crazy. I'm not a dark chocolate fan. It gets for me. I'm a big like. I love milk chocolate. Like a good. Solid milk chocolate is like unbeatable for me.
Yeah I got this one dark chocolate in the Timeout Market in Lisbon, and I forget what percentage it was, and I tasted it. I'm like, that just doesn't taste like chocolate anymore. It's just like
it's
bitter,
just like, it's like, very bitter.
It
I love
like
them
dark
though
brown.
It's an acquired taste. You get there, you know, like keep working your way up, just increase the percentage like a couple percent a week and you'll get there.
Oh, my, actually just a side tangent, my recent most like favorite guilty pleasure, Blue Bunny, the ice cream company. They have come out with these new loaded cones, and so it's like the cones, like the regular cones, I love those anyway, but only for like the very bottom, because that's the best part with like the chocolate bite.
Oh yeah,
but
exactly, I love the chocolate bite at the bottom.
So good. It's like they, every single bite that you get like essentially like a peanut butter cup kind of, but they're small.
What?
It's like they're all good. Throughout. Yeah, it's like all throughout like the bottom of it too. So like every bite is good, and those are my recent favorite.
I gotta pick those up.
I've gone through like three boxes already.
And
it's
the
Bunny Tracks ones. Make sure you get the Bunny Tracks.
Bunny Tracks.
Yep.
Sounds like a quarantine classic already.
This is not a paid advertisement, but Blue Bunny, if you hear this and you want to sponsor me, I will not say no.
I will 100%. I've been doing, it's something I picked up from another podcast I saw that, like a food-based podcast, that anything, any place that's brought up, they then tag them on Instagram saying like, we mentioned blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know what?
I've actually tweeted at Blue Bunny saying that I love them, and they responded to me this morning and said, we're so glad you're enjoying them. So, they do not.
I could do the callback right now. What was your story, Joe?
The
tweet that you...
Oh, the
melting pot.
Yeah.
We love the ratchets.
Yeah, I wish if I was a comedian, if I was a better person, I would have remembered that.
Better than Bouillon responded to me too, and they sent me free coupons.
That's true.
Wow.
Yeah, because I tweeted, awesome. I first of all, I love Better Than Bouillon. I think they're like an amazing product. This is also not paid. I think that they're an amazing product. Like Joe knows there's four different kinds in our fridge right now, not to mention like all the backups that are in the pantry. Mm-hmm. And so like I just randomly tweeted at them one day. I was like, I love Better Than Bouillon. And like, I just want to say thank you. Like it was just like some like corny, dumb tweet. And they sent me a DM and they were like, hey, like, we're so glad you like it. Like, let me send you some free coupons. I was like, okay. And
oh,
so
they
sent me like a bunch of free coupons for them. And it was really awesome.
That's so nice.
Yeah. So
yeah,
I love
good company.
Go
I'm
out
sold
and
now.
Buy Better Than Bouillon.
And you know what, during all this, not to take advantage of like people's feelings during these times or anything like that, but like, I feel like people are just much more, I don't know, using social media for what its core purposes were, and people are being nicer to one another right now.
That's
I think
true.
At least from what I've seen. So maybe tweet at them and you'll get some more.
Exactly. I mean, I'm a big fan of being nice in general, but
yeah,
if now's the time for you, then like go for it.
I've been trying to adopt the very, very, you know, like old mantra or something that my mom said to me constantly as a child, but just like, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all.
True. Yeah.
Makes things so much easier.
Doesn't get you anywhere. Why are you, you know, gonna do a feuding, or even someone that like a celebrity that you're like, oh god, I don't like them. It's just like, and you're talking shit about them. It's like, why are you talking shit? It doesn't matter.
Did you know that Rihanna blocked Joe on Twitter?
It's a very related story to the melting pot story.
It's very similar.
It wasn't mean. I wasn't being mean. I just said Rihanna was queen
of
the ratchets, like every day for a week. And then I went to look at Rihanna's tweets one day, and I realized she had blocked me. And everybody knows, at the time at least, Rihanna was tweeting from her own account. So she acknowledged that I called her Queen of the Ratchets for a week.
Yeah, this was like years ago.
Brian has been blocked by John Cusack. So.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He told
kidding?
Us the John Cusack story on the last episode that we recorded with him. Yeah.
For nothing bad. My. He was just, I think he tweeted out Adam.
He said, why do you hate this movie?
Yeah, he hates Better Off Dead, one of his earliest movies, which is an amazing comedy and like one of his earliest films.
And he really likes it. Brian really likes it.
Yeah, Brian really likes it. And he like tweeted at John Cusack, like asking that and saying like, really like to know like what, you know, like.
Why do
and
you hate it so much?
Yeah, and he blocked him.
Wow.
Yep.
That's so funny. Yeah.
He also did call him Queen of the Rat Shit. So.
See,
every day for
I'm
a
not
week.
Mean to celebrities on Twitter. I'm actually like really.
I don't think that was
really
mean. I called her the queen of the ratchets.
I mean,
like,
I don't think anyone really wants to be called a ratchet. But
no, she's the queen of them. I didn't say that she was one. I just said she's like she's their queen.
How can you be the queen of something that you don't belong to? Like, the party
I don't know.
Of?
Ask medieval times. There was queens of things that weren't.
All of a sudden, the French princess would become the queen of England. So,
exactly.
You know, yeah.
Whatever. Joe uses Twitter for evil. I use Twitter for good. And he knows. I'm actually really, really good at getting celebrities to respond to me on Twitter.
She is. That's very
I have
true.
Quite
and
a few
companies
celebrity
now.
Twitter friends.
Yeah.
I love interacting with definitely in the food realm, people seem much more like food celebrities tend to be pretty interactive.
They seem like they're cool people, right? Yeah. Like, if you like food and you come at them with, like, hey, I like food too, like, I'm sure that they'd be like, yeah, I respect this. This is cool.
Definitely. Well, favorite condiment? We'll get back on track.
Ooh, it depends. I'm, like, gut instinct mayo, but, like, there's a bunch of other ones that I really like too. So it mm-hmm. like, kind of depends on what I'm eating, but just, like, if I had to choose one, mayo.
Yeah, I think me too. I put it on a lot of stuff. What's the last thing you ate?
Chicken nuggets and fries.
Nice. What kind of dipping sauce?
Oh, I had many. I had a whole lineup for the. I'm not
she
even
did.
Kidding.
She's not lying. Yeah, she really did. I love sauces. She's the queen of the condiments. That's for sure.
Pierre, get out of here. Shoo. Sorry. So for the chicken nuggets, I had a little A1 for Joe. And
that
I
was
did
my go-to.
A little ranch, and then Walmart has made their own Chick-fil-A sauce. They call it chicken dipping sauce, and it tastes exactly like Chick-fil-A sauce. So shout out Walmart. They're good for something. And so I had those for the chicken nuggets, and then when we had the fries, I made fancy sauce because that's the only way to eat fries, which is ketchup and mayo. More mayo mm-hmm. than ketchup.
Awesome. What would be your last meal?
Ooh, either a really good cheeseburger or honestly, probably chicken piccata.
Ooh.
Mm. Oh, no. John Travolta pasta. What am I talking about? John Travolta pasta.
Oh, my God. dine in or dine out?
Dine in. I like dine in.
What would be your spirit food? What food embodies you, your personality?
A chicken cutlet.
Chicken cutlet?
Just, I don't know why.
Just a cutlet? Just a cutlet? Yeah. Not like any prepared way, just a cutlet.
Well, the thing is you can dress it up in so many ways. It can be it can be dressed up or dressed down. You can put it in things. You can have it by itself. Like, it's very versatile.
That's right. That's great answer. That works. I get it.
You go to the movies in this imaginary world that now exists. What kind of movie snack we having?
Oh, so Joe hates this, but when I was little, the only thing I wanted at the movies was snow caps.
I love snow caps.
I hate snow caps.
He thinks they're disgusting.
I hate the small crunchy.
That's the best part.
like the little balls of sprinkles. I hate those.
That was
not
the best
a fan.
Part.
Never was.
But since then, I have graduated to a combo of buttered salty popcorn and Bunch of Crunch.
Oh, but we are on the same wavelength when it comes to movie snacks. Mm-hmm. That's
I'm a big fan of like sweet and salty kind of together.
Yeah, but the Bunch of Crunch, when those came out, I was so excited.
Oh, yeah, so good.
Rachel gets them every time, yeah.
And last but not least, a great, if not the greatest lesson you've learned when it comes to food.
You can add more salt. You can't take it away.
Oh. Wow. That's
it's
a
so
good one.
True. It's so true.
It sounds like there's a specific story behind that.
I mean, I was just thinking because we just made these like spicy Asian noodles and we made them last night. And
in
the time
my defense, the first time I made them, I was wasted, all right?
We were really drunk. We were really drunk.
I couldn't taste anything. So the first time we made them, they were incredibly spicy. Like
and incredibly
like,
salty.
Hurt your mouth spicy and incredibly salty.
Like the bowl was red. Like I don't know if you understand that. Like it was like the color of a pepper. But they were incredible. They were so good. But we were eating them, and we were like, these are way spicy and, like, way salty. And we ate as much as we could. And, like, last night we made them again, and they were much, much better.
Awesome.
I've made them since then. So, like,
yeah,
now they're fine. But
the
first time was rough.
It was, the it other was delicious. Lesson. It was just rough.
Yeah. Drunk cooking, that's the other lesson behind
it. It'll get you. It'll it's get always spicier than you think it is.
And saltier than you think it is. And then I wake up and I'm like even more hungover because like I ate all
food. Mm-hmm.
So
just soaked up everything.
Dehydrated and like peeing out your butt.
Yeah.
Joe, not me. Just a disclaimer.
That's my term. She was using my terms.
You guys, I can't thank you enough for coming on. This was awesome. It was just talking all of this food with you, talking our trips and maybe some possible trips we'll take
hopefully
together in the future.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. You're always
in
welcome
this
to
uncertain
come visit.
World. Yes, I'm definitely, that'll be something that even if, depending on what's going on with, you know, quarantine and that kind of stuff.
Hey, man, they still do takeout at Pepe's. You
exactly.
Yeah, come up whenever you want.
Yeah.
I can make you some fresh pasta.
True.
I'm
she
into
makes
it.
A mean-ass pasta. It's good, too, dude. It really is.
Well, right now, if there's anything, Joe, obviously, I know you've got, you know, your podcasts and stuff like that, but if there's anything you guys like to share, promote, anything like that?
If you like this episode and you want to hear Joey and I talk about the Fast and Furious movies on repeat, now it's
vroom,
currently,
vroom.
Currently it's twice a week. But we talk about the Fast and Furious movies. It's a lot of more bullshitting like this than it is anything else. Kyle's been on an episode before. He'll be on more episodes, I'm sure. So come listen to Too Fast, Too Forever. Also on the Cage Club Podcast Network.
Yes.
Rachel.
I have nothing exciting going on in my life right now. So listen to the Cage Club Podcast Network.
Perfect.
Yeah, and you guys, how many episodes of like High School Slumber Party or episodes have you guys been on together on shows?
Oh, we just did one. It hasn't come out yet, but it's for Cheer Mondays of High School Slumber Party.
Don't ruin.
I didn't say the movie. Okay. I'm not saying the movie. I'm just saying it's for Cheer Mondays. Mm-hmm. It will be coming out. I don't know when this is coming out, but you know,
this is coming.
It'll be out.
Yeah.
It'll be okay. out
check,
sometime.
Yeah.
It
check,
may be
check
out.
Check out
already.
High School Slumber Party.
Check out High School Slumber Party. Shout out Brian Rodriguez. Yeah.
Well, thank you guys again. Joe, you know the sign off line. I mean, Rachel, I think you heard it in, maybe in person, but there's more to cut. So since you're the first time guest, if you would like to tell the foodies out there.
Sure. There's more to cut.
Thanks, guys.
Ooh, thank
I like that. That's there's more to cutlet. That's
there's more to cut.
Hey, I make some mean ass chicken cutlets, all right?
She does, that's true.
Yummy, 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 I got love in my tummy, and I feel like I'm loving you. Love you such a sweet thing, good enough to eat thing, and it's just a what I'm gonna do. Ooh, love to hold ya, ooh, love to kiss ya, ooh, love, I love it so. Sweet.